Welcome to the MMA Roadshow, episode number 468. My name is John Morgan, and Cole Coffee is with me here on this historic, amazing, we've been planning so long for this special anniversary edition.
Get the fireworks ready.
we don't even really know what this is yet, so we kind of need some help maybe figuring out what this is. But 468 episodes at one episode per week. Now, of course, that's not counting all the and a half episodes that we've done. Those aren't even factored in that. But just the traditional episodes, 468 consecutive weeks, by the way. Never missed a week. Came awfully close a couple of times. Handful of occasions. But we made it through. Never missed a single week. But that is 9 complete years of shows of one a week. 9 times 52 equals 468. So this marks 9 full consecutive years of the show. Now, we don't know what that actually means because I think, like, I know we started it in April.
Yeah.
But it's because we've lost time with some days or whatever, right? Because of the leap years.
I blame the leap
days.
And the leap days.
So somehow that's
29th,
happened.
Those February 29th getting us.
We also did like some, gosh, we've been doing it so long. We've had at least 2 leap days in there, which is crazy.
Ooh, yeah.
That's insane. And then, of course, we're doing it on Wednesday right now. We used to do it on Friday, and then we did it on Thursday, and that's changed a couple times along the way. So those are, but so
we never said it was going to stay on Fridays when we started
No, we didn't know what it would do. But 9 complete years, man. That's bro, that's crazy.
It's crazy. It's funny because when you explained it, you were like, you're like, just divide by 52. I was like, oh, that makes more so much sense, because I was literally like, Google like 468 weeks in years, and it was giving me some weird like 9 point something or 8 point something or whatever. So I knew it was like coming up to whatever, but then you're like, no, just divide by 52.
Well, I guess that's not the right way, because because if you do 365 divided by 7, I guess there's 52.14 weeks per year.
See, it's the 0.14.
So it's the 0.14's got us plus the leap days got us. So I don't really know what this signifies, if anything. But
it's easy to stick and just say, like, all right, weeks, 52 weeks. I think instead of, like, trying to, like, just make it hard, because I literally was just staring at my computer, like, I feel like I should have to add any other numbers. I think it's nice and easy and just say 52 weeks, you know, however many episodes divided by 52 weeks, and boom, you get it to today, which is 9 years. So
pretty crazy.
But as you pointed out, you're like, do we wait till the next episode for like the anniversary, since it's like the one, or do we just say it's 9 years and it's not episode 9?
So as I said, highly planned out, very historic.
Wait. Oh, you missed the fireworks. You're all fired. Staff has been sacked. Gosh. On episode 9, year 9.
I tried to save you guys. You got to pay attention.
They're
tried gone. To set it up.
They're gone.
9 complete years. Man, a lot has changed a lot. You know, obviously,
But it was kind of cool, even like the last episode, to be in Miami, knowing that that was like the birthplace of it, you know. And it might as well, you know, that was almost like that was the 9-year whatever mark, or at least the nice return to the start of it and stuff. But yeah, man, it's been crazy. And I know we say it every time, and like so much, even this year from last year, so much shit just happens, you know. And it's funny because like just like events, you barely keep track of like what events, you know, like what, who's on this fight, who's whatever. But now as the years tick along and you think about all the memories and all the stuff that sort of happens as we keep ticking up these year marks, man, and just like a lot of shit happened last year. I feel like a lot of shit's happened in the years past, so, and I'm sure a lot of shit happened in the next year, and maybe I'll get my staff on board, so in the next year, when we hit year 10, whether it's year 10.14 or 10 and 1, we will try to do something. And it's so funny because I think everybody, and I'm sure all you guys listening could probably chime in. I think there was a point where they thought we would do stuff at like episode 100, episode 200. We're like, they're like, oh yeah, you're going to do something. We're like, oh yeah, we'll think about it. I can tell that everybody's given up because nobody said anything about episode 300. I don't think, or episode 400. Maybe they did say about 300, but I think 400 people gave up. They're like, yeah, guys, they're not going to do anything.
We're not that far away from episode 500.
It's coming up.
That's
coming. But when you figure, it's almost a year. It's almost
30,
a year.
Yeah, it's.
But in terms of how many we've done, like 30 sounds like nothing. You know, it's just like, oh, just 30 more episodes. Okay, that's 30 weeks. Oh, well, yeah.
It's like 8 months from now. It's like November. Like, if you put it that way, it's like November. That's a long way away.
It's funny because, I mean, like, And most of the people that listen to this have been along this journey the whole time as well. But it's kind of cool. Even when I was chatting with one of the other media guys at the media day, which we'll talk about in a second, that we just got done. And I told him, I was like, dude, yeah, man, like episode 468, haven't missed the episode 9 weeks, or I'm sorry, 9 years. And yep. They were just like, dude, that's crazy. And right? It really, really is, man.
That's some Iron Man streak right there.
It's crazy.
That's some Iron Man streak. Well, listen, last week you mentioned Miami. We did get to get together there. I had to leave early. I left you basically at the press room.
Yeah, you were there and then you were gone.
I was gone. I literally like had to bounce out as soon as it was over. Boy, I did that at the...
But it didn't help that they had the time change. The time change really screwed everything up, because as soon as it was, like hit one, it was like three, or, mm-hmm. or vice versa.
Exactly.
When it was two, it was three or something. Yeah, at the end of the night, and then we had that hard out. You were gone by the hard out, I think.
Yeah.
So after the last guy, when they finished, they were like literally like 20 minutes or 10 minutes or 30 minutes. They were like, get the F out. But they're like, if you want to go to the other room, dude, I felt so bad. So like there's a handful, maybe less than 10 media.
I think they said our hard out was 4:30, right? Because we got done at like 4, and I went straight to the airport.
You went straight to the airport. So they were like, but you can go work in this other room, which was with the room where they were serving food or whatever. Mm-hmm. People have been cleaning up that room, preparing for the end of the night, the cleaning crew. Then to have media go all the way in there. And not all media are as conscientious of the staff as I think me and yourself are.
I believe we are.
Like, I police my shit. Like, if I'm going to grab some coffee, or if I'm going to grab, if there's any food left over, I'm going to throw my shit away.
Yep.
These poor staff were sitting there, like, waiting. I'm sure they were tired and want to go home. But then they're like, well, there's going to be some media working, but just make sure the room's good. So as media kept working, they just kept leaving trash. And I'm like, these poor folk over here, like, how many times do we have to clean this room? Yeah. So at the end of the night, I think I maybe even said something, but I'm sure it fell on deaf ears. I was just like, people, can you please throw your shit away? But yeah, I felt bad for those guys at the end of the night, because it was already 4:30. And they're like, they're still going. Like, they're like, I want to go home, but I don't know. Hopefully they got good overtime out of it. But I just felt bad, because at the end of the night, or I guess at the beginning, early morning, people were still making a mess because the media went in the other room. But yeah, but regardless, but yeah, it was such a crazy, quick, hard out. It was probably the shortest we've seen Dana after a pay-per-view that I could ever remember.
Yeah, and they told us, like, hey, FYI, like, we've only got him for a few minutes, so please make it quick.
And it went longer than I actually even thought. The way they made it sound there, that it was going to hit like the 10-minute mark, and then boom, they were gone. But of course, Dana's like, what you got? Who's got whatever. Right. And then at the very end, when what was it? What did somebody ask him about?
Somebody asked about the shorts,
short
right?
Color. And he's like, okay.
Down shorts.
Yeah, he's like, if we're getting to that point of the night, you know we've gone too long. And then he just like dropped the mic, peace out. Like, I was like, okay, Dana,
you know
Dana hit that mark.
Brendan Allen has been asking for them shorts for years. If that's how it gets approved, like, this is pretty really. He said it.
Like, Dana, you said it. I can go back to this thing or
I'm
whatever.
Getting my shorts. Well, we'll find out in a couple weeks. So, coming out of 299, I guess, what was your biggest take? What sticks with you the most? Ooh. Is it Sean O'Malley's dominance? Is it Dustin Poirier's studliness?
That was a really good one.
Is it MVP's debut?
Well, that was a good one too.
Jack Della Maddalena's kind of ascension into the top of the ranks? Is it Peter Yan's resurgence? Is it Curtis Blades talking trash all week to Jelton Almeida, basically, and then going out and delivering?
That was a huge – that one surprised me. Maybe not most, but that outcome, I mean – it was just crazy. I mean, I think everybody thought Jelton was going to go in there and was just going to do amazing things. And then Blade showed up, and I couldn't be happier for the dude, man. But, man, he really, I think, opened a lot of eyes to people to say, like, okay, the big scary monster that you thought was just going to run through me, like, no, sir.
Yep.
I'm not the gatekeeper. I'm not just going to let you walk by. So that was a good one. Dustin Poirier, holy cow, man. What
stud.
Dude was banged up at the beginning, man. Took some knocks, man, and he fucking just did what Dustin Poirier does, man. Like, how could you not? I picked against him, and I'm not embarrassed to say, like, man, I was so wrong. I don't want to say I bought into the hype, because I think Saint Denis is the real deal.
Agreed.
He just ran into a Dustin Poirier that just wasn't going to be beat that night.
Yep.
It came down to heart and determination and preparedness, man. Like, he took a lot of good shots, but his gas tank kept going, and Benoit, as he started taking some damage, he just looked like he was depleting, just had no answer. And then, and then Dustin took him out of the equation, you know. Peter Yan, I thought that was a good one. I thought that was a good fight for him. But again, I mean, not that I counted him out. I could see where some people were like, you know, his best days are past. So I don't think it was, it wasn't too surprising that he showed up, because the guy was a, you know, the former champ for a very, very short time. But that was impressive. But man, MVP, man, even when I looked at the numbers, he was, well, I guess oddly enough, on the numbers and some of the YouTube numbers, Jan was like the best of the night.
Russian hacker traffic.
Hacker traffic, thank you very much.
We appreciate the Russian hacker traffic.
Thank you very much, Russians. but MVP was the next biggest
really?
One. Yeah, in terms. So, I mean, like, the guy's got star power. It's funny, USA Today reached out to me today, and they were like, hey, we have a possibility of getting this guy, Michael Venom Page. I don't know if you guys want anything from him, or is he worth it or whatever. And I gave him this just sort of spiel. I was like, yeah, this guy's like a real up and coming. And sort of told him about, you know, his dance entrance, his fun celebrations, yeah, and all this other stuff, and gave him some suggestions. So I think they are going to actually shoot him and maybe do like what they did with Bisping and do like an in studio interview, but keeping
it
lighthearted.
I wonder how that came together.
You know, I mean,
maybe his manager was reaching out. Or?
It could be a manager, or I wonder if the UFC has something boiling, you know, in New York, and they're like, well, let's go there with some people or something.
Is that where it is, the New York
but
office?
It's going to the New York office. So, yeah, I mean, I imagine his manager's not flying him to New York.
Right,
you know,
right.
For
no
reason,
yeah,
or something.
Yeah. So maybe they're doing like a series of let's get him out there and introduce him to the world.
Certainly makes you think that means something's brewing.
Yes, it does.
For Madison Square Gardens. Yes. And that could be a person that they're thinking. So
he would definitely make sense in Madison Square Garden. He's that kind of showman.
Yeah. So, I mean, his performance, man, I mean, I know we're both big fans of Kevin Holland, but man, Kevin had no answer for it. It was so impressive to see Paige just sort of frustrate him and take Kevin striking out of the equation. When Kevin was able to throw, man, he was just hitting nothing but air, man. It was just really, really impressive, man. I picked Holland, and I was completely wrong. I thought Paige looked better than I've seen him fight in a long time. For him to come out there and have a UFC debut like that, holy cow, he did much better than I was giving him credit to do. I thought Holland was going to be much tougher for him.
Yeah, I agree.
And Holland, I don't want to say that Holland had a bad day. I think he was just frustrated. He just could never.
He was frustrated.
He could never just cut that cage off. And when he was there, like, he was gone. And then when he would kind of barrel in because he was frustrated, Paige would hit him with these crazy kicks and some of those elbows. And I mean, it was just absolutely nasty. So, I mean, kudos to him, man. I thought he was incredible. And O'Malley, man, I don't think could have even begun to think that it would have looked like that against Vera. I mean, I give Cheeto all the credit in the world for being as tough as nails. I mean, he got his face fucking crashed.
Boy, and you cracked see, open somebody, like a, somebody broke into his home while he was gone, too. What
up.
The hell?
Somebody, I thought, said that they had heard something somewhere, like through previous posts or something, like that maybe things weren't great with him and his neighbors or something. And at some point, a neighbor was on the embedded or something. But, yeah, I mean, it's just unfortunate, you know. I mean, the UFC's out here, and I don't blame the UFC or whatever. I mean, they're going to promote and they're going to say it. I mean, obviously, people knew who lives in their neighborhood. They knew whatever, and then all of a sudden, he's gone. I just, you know,
I did
it
see
sucks
a lot
that
of people
saying
don't
there.
Post like the outside of their home and the embeddeds and stuff like that. But you're right. I mean, you got to think for the most part, like people in the neighborhood like know who lives in that house, right?
And they knew he wasn't gone. It's just unfortunate that nobody could have been staying at the house. You know, I think the family that would be there staying at the house were there in Miami watching him fight,
of course,
you know.
Yeah.
So it's a really kind of shitty end to the story, but man, so much heart was shown by Vera. I mean, like, that damage, I think that knee that busted up his eye, I think most fighters would have probably could have easily been like, that's enough. That's enough for me. But we've seen Vera, his whole story, you know, he's fought for his family, he's fought everything that he's fought to kind of better his daughter's life, his family's life. He's just not going to give up, man. And half the people there were there for him. So I give him a lot of credit for his heart. But, man, O'Malley looked, like you said, flawless. He looked so good. It was just ridiculous. I think there were bits towards the end. You could see where he was starting to show a little tiredness. But I think that's just when you're throwing everything you got at a guy and the fucking Terminator just keeps coming at you, you're going to start tiring. And that's why I felt like, holy cow, like Vera's coming forward, like towards the end. I was like, can he possibly pull this away? Because you saw Sean start to slow down a little bit. But Sean, at that point, you knew he had already built up enough credit in those rounds that if should it go to a decision that he was going to get it, you know.
I like that Sean was so honest after. I like post-fight Sean better. Like, I feel like pre-fight Sean is like,
Yeah.
You know, trying to be as cool as possible and make it look a certain way. And he is cool. He just is naturally. He's got some charisma. He's got swag. And I just think his kind of, like, laid-back dryness that he is. Like, I think afterwards, I think he's just relaxed and he's whatever.
He was tired, too. Like, he was sitting sideways. He wasn't even, like, fully addressing forward. Like, at some point, I think he sat there and then he just kind of, like,
it's like, I'm worn out. Dude, but I love the fact that he was so honest. I was like, hey, man, I noticed that you sat down on the cage. Like, was that, like, a mental or thing? And he was like, no. He's like, he cracked me with a body shot. Yeah, it hurt like hell. He's like,
it was crazy because I think the commentary team, they gave him credit for it, and I agree with that, too. Like, he was up four rounds going into that thing, and they're like, bro, just slow down. I think his coach is even saying so, but he wanted that finish, you know. He wanted the sugar show to happen, you know. So credit to him. But I mean, you get what you get, you know, going for it. And credit to Vera to still have that power after taking all that damage to still hurt his opponent like that, man.
Dangerous.
It was good, man. It was a good night of fights. I mean, it was I had a lot of fun. I thought it was, you know, even being, you know, sitting in the media room was in the practice gym. The
huge media room.
Huge media room. Yep. It was really big
because it was a practice gym.
Yeah, practice gym for the Heat or whatever. So it was unique in that sort of sense. You know, they didn't want us to eat in the room, you know, because it was their practice court. So they were very meticulous about not wanting. They said drinks were okay. And, you know, it's just like, oh, come on. Like, don't put it there if you're going to be really, really weird. But I get it. Especially how we saw how the media treated the actual other room.
Right.
So I can see why they didn't want it. But it was a good night, man. It was a lot of fun fights. And I know 298 was good, but 299 definitely was better.
It kicked my ass, bro. I was exhausted by the time I got home.
Yeah.
And I'm doing the same thing for
that
three.
East Coast shit is real. It's so not easy.
And for me, I had like the extra like Tampa flights in there, you know what I mean? So it just kind of changed my schedule a little bit. I'm doing the same thing for 300, but I'm hoping 300 will be a little bit easier because there I am going back and forth to the East Coast because we're doing Atlantic City on Friday night and then I'll be in Vegas on Saturday night. But I'm not doing like the multiple, like, you know, I had to go like Vegas to Tampa, Tampa to Miami, Miami to Tampa, Tampa. You know what I mean? Yeah. Like, I don't have to do all that, so I'm hoping it'll be easier. But, dude, I think the 9 years plus some of the other things in my life have taken my toll. I needed like a day to recover after that trip last week, man. It was a long one.
It's called getting old, sir.
Called getting old.
And, I mean, like, just even getting in the planes. Like, getting off the plane, like, so it's not a far distance, but it was still end up being like a 10-hour travel day with like delays. And by the time I got back here, I had like a sore throat. I had like a bit of a headache, even just getting to like the Uber stuff, because then you have to deal with all the crazy people that are trying to get their cars at the airport, which is just a nightmare now. It wears on you. It does. And I mean, I can only imagine, you know, doing city to city, hop to hop, you know.
I was tired. I was worn out.
I can imagine.
Well, speaking of getting older, this week was a little bit different for me. Basically, I've just missed all of the UFC, but I did watch your stream today. I did check it out
for
the stream for the
quality.
Media day.
Yes.
The high quality stream. I watched your stream, so I did get to catch up. But I was hosting a media call today. We actually had the Bellator Champion Series media call today. Which was fun. I really enjoy hosting those. It was Corey Anderson and Carl Moore were on there. They're competing for the vacant light heavyweight title. And then Patricio Pitbull and Jeremy Kennedy were on there as well. They are all fighting next Friday in Belfast. U.S. broadcast partner still to be announced. I was told that announcement is coming, though, because we were going over the notes.
You're not
going
to get some free YouTube?
We were going in the notes. Well, I don't know. Maybe we'll end up back on YouTube. I don't know. I just heard that a broadcast partner is coming. The announcement is expected before then, because it said it, like, they give me some notes, like, to discuss and to talk about, and I'm like, guys, it says right here that a broadcast partner is going to be announced. I was like, is it really going to be announced? Yeah. Like, you sure? Because, you know, we're still waiting on PFL Europe, and they were like, I promise you it will be announced. I was like, all right, well, we'll get it. Expect some announcements forthcoming very soon on a broadcast
partner. Or not.
I think they are. They assure me that this time they are coming. So I was doing that today, so I wasn't going to be able to go to the media day. But I'm also not going to be part of the fights, because so I really thought I'd at least be part of the media day, but it's my birthday this week. So,
you know, look at that.
It's funny, right? Because life is funny, right? Like, last week was a, you know, kind of a stressful week. Obviously, Miami plus the show in Tampa, you know, a lot going on. but I thought it went off pretty flawlessly, went off without a hitch. I had some travel concerns that I was a little bit tight on the press conference day. I was a little bit tight on the flight home, and it wasn't going to be able to get everything done, and I did. And so I got home, and I'm like, you ever just have one of those moments where you're like, man, life's going pretty good right now. You know what I mean? Like, my birthday's coming up. You know, everything worked out travel-wise. Like, I was just feeling like we're killing it right now. Like, everything's going good. And as soon as that happens, I get a call from my wife, and she's like, and I know it's bad because my wife just doesn't call me. She texts. You know what I mean? Like, we text. We don't really call each other a lot. So when she called, I know something's wrong. She's like, I just got in a car accident. I'm like, ah. And you know what? I'm trying to have the right attitude about it, which is this. I should be thankful. No injuries. No.
Of course.
My son was in the car. His friend was in the car. They were on the way to jiu-jitsu. Nobody's hurt. Everybody's good. You know what I mean? Everybody's good to go. The vehicle is honestly still drivable. Like, it's not like it's the impact wasn't so serious at the vehicle. But it's just going through the hassle of like, so that's what I've been doing today is, so my birthday's coming up on Friday. I thought this was going to be my
Friday
awesome.
Friday the 15th?
Friday the 15th.
I'm going to add that into my calendar
the
here.
Ides of March. So, so I'm excited about celebrating my birthday. We got a hotel night at the Durango, the newly opened Durango.
You guys are always doing the little city tour thing.
A little staycation. Doing that, staying at the Durango. Having dinner at Nico's, their steakhouse there. So, I mean, we're going to do it up. Like, they got a great steakhouse there. I love a good steak. We're going to do that. And then I've got tickets on Saturday to the fights. We're going to go hang out in the crowd and watch the fights. So, I mean, it's like a whole little weekend, right? I mean, Durango's right there by the Apex.
You
it's
could
just
work
right around
the fights.
Corner.
You know, you could just work the fights.
The tickets are already there.
You know what I mean? Yeah, you spend some money on those.
You can't just use those and let them go to waste. So, that's week. So everything was going good, right? I mean, I was all teed up. And then today I spent the whole day going and getting an estimate on my vehicle, how much it's going to cost, which, by the way, man, I have not, I'm going to knock on wood right now.
Yeah.
I haven't been in a car accident in, I think, 20 plus years or something.
Yeah.
I haven't had to get a vehicle repaired, since I was like in my 20s. This was not a bad damage, but I mean, like the bumper's jacked. Like, it was clear that needed to be replaced. And there's some other little damage. Bottom line, the estimate was like $2,800.
Yeah.
$2,800.
Could have been worse.
Could have been way worse.
Could have been worse. But, yeah, I mean, it's funny because you think – and which is not surprising because you think, like, everything's more expensive. Going to the grocery store is more expensive. It's like, oh, you think a bumper is not going to be expensive or whatever? But, yeah, I mean, like you said, at the end of the day – a car can get replaced. I'm glad that the family's safe. I was wondering because when she called, how does she start the call? Is it John? Is it baby?
Yeah.
Is it honey dear?
I think it was like a.
Or did she just roll into the?
I think she was a little like in shock. You know what I mean? Like, I don't even think she had talked when she called me at first. Like, she hadn't even talked to the person that hit her yet. So she was like, what all do I need to do? Like, what do I need to get? Like, what should I make
it
sure?
It is crazy. It is one of those, like, sort of, like, frantic things, like, especially if you've never been in one or whatever,
right.
Like, what do you do?
Yep.
Because you don't want somebody to take advantage of something that doesn't know the process or, you know, and just say, oh, clearly that was your fault. Give me your insurance stuff, you know. No, I'm not giving you mine, you know. So it's good to cover it. But, yeah, it can be a very, very scary thing. But yeah, I thought about that. I was like, I wonder how she opened up that call.
So she was pretty frantic at first. I think she just wanted to make sure she didn't screw anything up. Like, she's like, it's not my fault. You know what I mean? Like, she didn't mean, but I think she wanted to make sure she got everything that she needed to. And then obviously the kids, you know, that was the concern that everybody was good. But so, I mean, look, like I said, counting my blessings is just like, damn it. I thought everything was going, you know, like.
Yeah, you put that out in the universe. Did you happen to say, did you vocalize it? Did you verbalize it or did you just think it? Like, everything was good. Did you happen to be on a call with somebody, like, when you're talking to your mom, you're like, Mom, things are the
life
best right now.
No.
Mom, I'm just killing it right now.
Killing
nothing
the
can
game,
go. I can
bro.
Do no wrong. Hey, universe, I could do no wrong.
Yeah.
The universe is like, hold my beer.
I didn't verbalize it, but I do remember thinking, like, man, it feels like some brakes are really going my way right now. You know what I mean? It feels like everything's kind of leaning in the right direction.
So what's the lesson learned? Like, just don't think that. Just think we're constantly struggling. Like, life is still struggling. I feel like I've edged a little bit, but I still feel like shit.
I always feel down.
Hear that, universe? I still feel like shit, but I'm happy. Is that okay?
It's okay.
Can I be happy? But I still feel like
thanks
shit.
Thanks for the terribleness you're giving me. No, that's good. It's good. Like I said, it could obviously have been way worse.
Well, but, you know, luckily you're so busy with all this work. I'm sure just the cash, just bags in the closet, just
stacks
loads,
and stacks,
just stacks and stacks.
Scrooge McDucking it back there in the Morgan household,
when people
bro.
When play Monopoly in other households, they use fake money. Morgan, he's like, Eli, go into the closet. Grab a couple colored bags of
get some
the
of
big bills. Grab some little bills.
You play the hundreds. I'll play the 50s. You know what I mean?
In fact, grab the real top hat I just bought with extra money. I'm gonna wear it for this game.
Could you grab my monocle, please? Oh, man. No, it's actually so I did – I haven't done this in a long time. I'm trying to file with their insurance since it's –
yeah.
Definitely their fault. So at least then I don't even have to be out of pocket for the for the deductible. And then hopefully my rate won't go up as well since it's not on my insurance. Yeah. So we'll see. Hopefully that plays
out. Works out good. Luckily when
it's pretty cut and dry.
Yeah. When the last time I did it, it was lucky enough that we actually had the same insurance company. We actually had the same insurance person.
Oh, really?
Yeah. So it was kind of freaky weird.
Easy.
But typically, if you call the other company and you tell them and you have the info and you have all the stuff, that kind of is a clue to them that, okay, there's probably a good that this person's telling the truth. Then they then will call the policyholder to verify your story. And then all it takes is the policyholder saying, yes, I did get an accident. Yes, it was this. And then boom. And then it's all done. And then, well, it's not done, but the process gets forward. But yeah, it's a pain in the butt because, you know, even when I found out mine, it's weeks. Sometimes it takes weeks to get into the thing. And then depending on how quickly they get your car, then they tear it apart.
Yep.
And then if they're waiting for parts, because my situation, they tore it apart. And then ordered the parts
because
they tear it apart just to
make
sure there's not something that they're missing. So they had my car was gone for like 2 weeks or something.
Yeah, the guy I talked to today, he said at least like a week. He's like, just the primer alone.
A week would be a nice quick turnaround.
Yeah, and when that's how long he thinks he needs the car. Obviously, he's still got to order the parts and all that stuff. He's like, I'm going to need the car on the lot for like 4 or 5 days because, you know, the primer's got to set and all that. So I'm like, but hopefully I get like rental coverage and all that stuff.
Fun.
Yes. I hear you, world. All right. K-Universe. I'm not complaining. I'm just saying that's enough for now. Thank you. I'd like to enjoy the rest of my birthday week.
Yes.
All right. UFC Media Day today. UFC Fight Night 239. A media day that was not a big one. Obviously, I didn't see the room, but I could hear the room. Didn't sound like there was a whole lot of media there.
No. I think there were like six of us probably.
Yeah.
Bunch of no-shows.
Bunch of no-shows. Eight fighters in total, so didn't go that far. But I will say, out of the interviews you guys had, I didn't see the only one I missed. I didn't see Christian Rodriguez.
He was the very last one.
He was the very last one,
and he didn't go crazy long. He was pretty short with his answers. I mean, like you know, he's going up weight because of the last two fights he had misses.
Right.
So he's fighting at featherweight. He kind of danced around the idea, you know, the weight thing.
Did he answer the one thing I want to ask? Because I know I think Amy Kaplan said she was going to ask him. Because I heard where Isaac Dolgarian, because I didn't know that, where Isaac Dolgarian had said that Christian Rodriguez said this is personal.
Oh, it's because he says it's one of those, it's personal, but it's not personal. He's like, every fight I take is personal because the guy's trying to take my money.
Because I was wondering, like,
but
where,
it's not
I was like,
personal
where,
at all.
I had no idea there was any conflict whatsoever. So there wasn't.
Yeah,
it's just like, it's personal because you're trying to take half my paycheck.
That's it.
Got it.
So it's like the generic, it's personal, but it's not really personal.
I thought Isaac Dolgarian was very dismissive of Christian Rodriguez. He's like, and now, he had good explanations for it too, but he was just like, hey man, this dude's been fighting kids and babies. Like, now he's fighting a grown-ass man. Like, you better be ready.
And it's funny because, you know, Amy, I want to say, was a person that did ask him, like, you know, he's had struggle with the weight things. Even though he's going up, it's not like that's a guarantee that he's going to make that. We've seen people go up weight and still struggle. He's like, I don't care if he misses weight. He's like, that's just more money for me. He's like, I'll take that fight regardless.
20%, let's go.
You know? But, you know, I wouldn't be surprised. We saw in Miami, we had a repeat offender. He got 30%.
Mm-hmm.
He's missed his last two weight
He'll probably get 30%.
He would get 30%. I guarantee, even though he went up a division,
yep.
he would get 30%. I think he's a repeat.
That'd be like an automatic. The UFC is really starting to try to push.
And
for
that's
that.
The kind of shit that, you know, if he didn't get a win, I could see where the UFC is like, is this guy even worth the trouble? Like, he's constantly missing weight or he's whatever. I mean, like, that's the kind of shit that they cut people for. So, I don't know. I mean, he seemed very, very short, and he was kind of dry. I mean, but granted, by the end of it, it wasn't like we were asking a bunch of follow-up questions, because I think at that point we were really kind of get out of there, and I think he wanted to get out, and he had still some last, like, photos and other little stuff that he had to sort of do. But I wanted to ask at the very end, you know, just, you know, okay, now we've talked about your weight, and you talk about the move up and do the other stuff, but where are you at right now? You know, like, how are you right now? Are you on track to still make weight? I was just kind of taking it for the fact that since his answer were kind of short and kind of dry, part of that could be just the questions being asked. But yep. Another time, if you see people that are possibly about to be in a rough cut or in the middle of a rough cut, the last thing you want to do is media day. So
yep.
Part of it, I was chalking the sort of just shortness up to the fact that he is in the matter of a weight cut. And I was going to ask him, but at that point, I think Armando switched to like Spanish questions. And I was like, dude, I'm not going to go back into fucking English just to ask what could be perceived as like a dickish question of just like, so where are you at with your weight?
Especially,
you know?
If he's not feeling it. Like,
especially
if
he's not feeling it. Well, so it would have done no good.
Hopefully he's good. Cause Christian Rodriguez is a guy that came through CFFC. So obviously I'm going to have a little cheer for him. Great fighter. Punk likes him a lot because, like, he remembers when Christian came in as just like a teenager, like learning. You know what I mean?
Awesome.
So, like, he's one of those guys that came in as a little kid, starting to learn how to train, and now he's all the way up at the UFC. So, yeah. You know, we always kind of pull for him a little bit. So, hopefully, the weight isn't, because you're right, he's a hell of a fighter, but we all know that missing weight, man, you just can't play that route.
I mean, 10-1. I mean, that looks great, but 10-2, and if you're a problem on the scale, that if you're causing, because that's not just. It doesn't just affect. The other immediate fighter, you got to think about all the staff and everybody else that's involved. That means Sean or Mick get roped back into it. Then you got to have, you know, almost like these quasi negotiations going back in. And then you have staff that has to juggle around trying to do all the extra hoops. Let's bring out the box. Let's do this. Let's reweigh him back in. All these extra steps that the UFC looks at and says, you know, is this worth it? It'd be one thing if it was John Jones, like, I'm struggling. Mr. Jones is struggling over there. Okay, well, let's get the fucking box. Let's make sure. And then as opposed to, you know, when the younger, newer cats, regardless if he's 10-1 or whatever. But I hope he makes weight. I hope it's a great fight. I'm excited to see how that fight. I think that's going to be a lot of fun.
I was looking at the odds for that one, man, because I was kind of curious to see where that – because I like Christian Rodriguez skilled, as you said, but obviously moving up in weight, yeah. You always worry about that. Dude is really fit.
Is he the favorite?
He opened as the favorite. Isaac Delgarian opened as a +120 dog and was immediately – the line flipped immediately after it was released to -130.
Wow.
And now he's all the way up to like -180, depending
Holy
on where you look.
Cow,
so,
that's
yeah.
a huge
So
huge
Delgarian
reversal.
Is the – yeah, Delgarian is the favorite, and it flipped from the opening line.
That
so.
Makes – I'm telling you, people, as much as we don't like speculate and say things, man, the lines, when lines move like that, it could just be cash.
Yep.
But I'm telling you, man, these bookies, man, they know their shit.
Yes,
man.
They do.
And you hate to think that they know something, but that's a huge reversal. You'd like to think it's just cash.
Yep.
Maybe somebody looked and said, okay, 10-1, and then here's this undefeated guy. But, man, 10-1 is a pretty darn impressive. I think they're probably taking into the fact that they don't think he's going to make weight. I think that they're thinking he's going to go in there struggling and be depleted, and that maybe was, you know, maybe it was people went for the underdog play or threw so much money at Isaac once that initial underdog, thinking the
yep.
other guy wasn't going to go, that it just moved the line so heavily in another direction.
I was, I know last week you were kind of cracking on it, but I was on the Gambler's Perspective last week with Nick and Gianni.
Yeah.
And but one story that they shared
you're
with me.
I love Gianni.
It was coming.
Love him.
I one story they were telling me that like Zach Candido has like asked them to leave the room sometimes when they have like something comes up, because since they are both like active like gamblers and odds makers, that like when there's production things of like hey we know so and so struggling with weight, so we might have to make a shift around or this, or we're losing this, or something like that.
Good on him.
He's had them like get off phone calls or leave the room or things. To
that's
the information
100%
how
some of that shit gets out.
You know what, man? I thought that was amazing to hear. I was like, what a cool little insight. You know what I mean? Because
I'm sure nobody's asking. It's not like the Nevada commission or anybody's just like have these guys leave. I think somebody within the organization realized this is not a good move.
They know it's not supposed.
You know?
It's funny because listen, I've openly said it. I you know until the whole investigation ongoing, the whole James Krause situation, like.
Yeah.
I didn't realize that stuff was. Oh yeah, it's still going on.
Man.
I didn't realize that any of that stuff was like considered illegal. I was like, well, look, if you've got the sources where you have the information, like, good on you. You just have more information than anybody else.
Yeah.
But you're not supposed to have non-public information.
Well,
so.
I was gonna say that's it. You know, that's that like the insider trading shit.
Yeah.
You know, like we get stuff from. I get emails all the time from USA Today that said, like, you're considered an insider. So hey, when we have these numbers that are gonna go out, even though we just had a town hall talking something, you cannot trade. Blah blah blah.
Can't move your shares within like
with a certain amount of time on the both sides of the trade or whatever. So it's interesting, but no, I think that's.
I thought that was a cool story.
Yeah, because I kind of forget that Yanni and those guys would be. Going to those sort of things. So good on them to actually do their due diligence to make them get the F out of the room, because it's so crazy. Sometimes the lines move and these bookies pull shit out that it's just like, it's like magic. I don't know how they do it, but I mean, granted, they wouldn't have the jobs that they had in Vegas if they weren't good at it.
True.
Somehow figuring the stuff out. I mean, whether they're crunching the numbers like some money ball stuff or whatever, I mean, like, because if you're not good and you're the linesman and you're giving away a bunch of the house money, you're going to be gone.
Yep.
You know, so it's always amazing. So, but to see a line movement like that is just kind of crazy, especially out of two guys that it's not like we've seen crazy amount of fights in the UFC, so somebody could sort of predict what they're doing, you know. But it's impressive.
I'm looking for that. You guys talked to him today, so it's not too far down the list, but that is kind of an undercard fight that I'm looking forward to.
Yeah.
The main event, of course, Tai Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura. Again, I think this is a card. Look, fight night cards, especially fight night cards after pay-per-view weeks, they pale a little bit in comparison when you're talking about star power, especially the way, man, 299 was stacked, 300 is stacked.
Yeah.
I mean, it's going to be this way for a little bit. It's a little bit slim pickings, but again, as I said, the main event I like a lot. Tai Tuivasa, Marcin Tybura. Obviously, anytime you get Tai Tuivasa into a fight, it's fun. He was in good spirits today.
Yeah.
Said, hey, I never want to make excuses, but I had been dealing with some injuries and some issues, you know, last time out, and I was very frustrated. But look, he's on a losing streak right now. Now, it's a losing streak against some very good fighters and some very elite-level fighters. But nonetheless, it's a losing streak that he wants to end. And I find this to be an intriguing fight because Marcin Tybura is kind of the opposite of him in terms of heavyweight in that, look, Tybura is not going to look to strike. You know what I mean? Even Tybura was hilarious today, by the way. I don't know. He was in a mood today.
I thought he was in a great mood,
too. He was just cracking jokes like crazy today. It was hilarious.
I thought it was great. I was like, I'm like, what is going on today? I thought we had some really good ones.
But he was
one that stood out. I was just like, he's smiling. Did he start it off? Yeah, he was the very first one. Started the whole thing off.
Starting off in a great mood.
Yeah.
He was joking about the fact that, you know, the fight got moved from Anaheim to Vegas, and he had to tell his wife that they're not going on vacation anymore. I'm sure maybe they were probably going to Disneyland or something, like after they were going to fight in Anaheim. But I thought that was funny. And then I love, too, somebody was asking him, you know, like strategy or how do you win. He was like, keep his hands away from my face, basically.
Yeah.
That was great. Like, don't let him punch me in the mouth, basically.
Yeah.
But it really does. I mean, look, this is almost like old school MMA right here, right? This is striker versus grappler. Like, there's no way Tybura wants to stand and trade with Tai Tuivasa. And conversely, I mean, Tuivasa obviously is just going to have to defend the takedown because he's not great at getting off his back. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
You certainly don't want to stand toe to toe, but if you can get him on his back, he's a little bit tough. So I'm kind of torn on this one, to be honest. I mean, I think everybody cheers for Tai Tuivasa because he's just a fun dude, right? And you know if he wins, it's going to be chaos. It's going to be a big knockout. You're going to get a shoey afterwards. It's going to be fun, right? But if it's with Tybura, I've always liked Marcin. He's just kind of like this humble, soft-sided kind of dude or whatever. That certainly has a different fighting style. So I don't know, man. I think I looked at the odds on this, and I think it's damn near a pick, I'm to be honest with you. The last time I checked, it's let's see if I can find the current odds. Yeah,
well, I know
it's damn near a pick.
It's got to be, But it was interesting talking about because part of it we were talking about the fight was supposed to be in Anaheim, and even Anaheim was going to be too tough with Tai coming back from the meniscus injury or whatever. So he was pushing, what made us sort of think like, oh, okay, the UFC just like, okay, we want to take this to the apex because, we have all this other stuff. We need a headline or whatever. He and his team were pushing for the card, for that fight to get pushed back at some point. So I want to say part of the move, as much as we're sort of saying like the UFC is like, well, we need something just to make a headline – Ty and his team, I think they were worried about Anaheim to begin with. You know, like they as much more time that they can have, they just wanted to have that extra month.
I think
or
he had
so.
A knee injury that he was dealing with that he wanted extra time to heal from.
I mean, because, I mean, granted, it's not like they're going to go out there and do crazy sprawls and jiu-jitsu and all this other shit, but it's like, you know, you need your legs to throw power and to be able to move. So I'm glad he took the time. I love the fact that it's here on the headline. He likes fighting at the Apex.
Yeah.
You know, everybody likes to shit on the Apex. Of course, he loves to be in front of fans because he's a huge fan favorite. There's nothing better than watching those ridiculous walkbacks after a win where he's just like, give me
chugging
a shoe.
Beers chugging after beer.
Remember when he chugged the beer when somebody put the fucking
hot sauce
in there?
It?
Oh,
that's shitty, bro.
And he was like, and he still finished it. I was like, it was so gross. But, like, you know, just crazy shit like that that gets to happen when he's in fans. But for him to embrace, you know, the fact that it's in the Apex, you know, I've said it and I've said it along. Like, if the fighters aren't bitching about a fight being the Apex, what are the why can nobody else is allowed to bitch at that? Like, if Ty's not upset about it, you can't get upset that Ty's fight's in the Apex. Like, it's his call.
It's so
his
true.
Call.
It's his fight.
And if the fact that it's going to make him better because he needed the time to actually heal so that he's closer to 100%, we should be happy for that. So that, I'm glad that that worked out. But, yeah, I think it's going to be a fun main event. I mean, the likelihood that it goes to five rounds, there's always that possibility, you know. But I would think one of these guys is going to get lay some hands, or they're going to be able to get the fight where they need it to be, you know. Marcin's got a chin on him, but man, Ty hits really, really hard, you know. So it'd be interesting to see. But yeah, I'm looking forward to it. I think it's a decent card. I think you're right. I mean, there's still sticker shock from $299 and what we were able to get, you know, in front of us. But I think all in all, I mean, it's a decent card. I mean, I think there's some good fights on there. I think the people are happy. I'm glad to see Macy Chasson in there and Pan Kianzad. Mm-hmm. I think that's going to be a good one. So we get our Fortis boys here, Kennedy, I always fuck his name.
Njoku. Even I know it.
I know it. And then when I try to say it. And Ovin St. Preux. I mean,
by the way, both those guys were great today.
They were so good. OSP, they gave us my team was like, literally, I think they were like, bro, why is it still going? We went 28 minutes
with OSP
today. But man, when it's their fight week and they're either stuck in a hotel and they're out there and they're having good talks and it's fun, like, who might be like, sorry, we're just trying to get the print deadline, you know, bro. We're just going to stop this, you know. I mean, they had great points, and we actually, I thought OSP's conversation was great.
And there's a lot of times where he's not that open as he was today.
That's it.
You know what I mean?
Like, if you catch him on a bad week or whatever, his answers are very, very short, to the point, and you're not really getting a lot of, I wouldn't say emotion or thought, where he takes the time to really dive and tell you backstory. Like, he would go on to a certain point, and then it would remind him another story. And he'd be like, oh, and it reminds me of this. And he'd go off on this tangent, and I was like, I loved it. Like, it didn't feel to me in the room that it was a 30-minute interview.
No.
And that feels good for me.
I was watching it at home, and I thought it felt nice.
And I think as long as that feels that way, then I'm not doing a disservice to people watching. We weren't asking about what fucking color shorts he was going to wear. I mean, never got there or anything. But we got to dive back into his time, how his improvement and the things that he's went through. I mean, he's 40 years old, and he's talked about all the different little changes and things that have enabled him to get to this point, and he reflected on some of the biggest changes that he's seen in the sport in his time. I mean, the guy now, this fight is going to put him in the lead. He's tied with Shogun for 24 fights, tied for the most light heavyweight. This fight puts him in the books.
Wow.
Number 25. He's 40 years old. And he's doing the right things. I mean, that number can go more, you know.
It's interesting because on the one hand, I got the feeling. So he talked about the fact that, like, he's focused on his recovery. Yep. You know, he's always taking care of his body. How maybe, you know, a lot of athletes didn't necessarily take care of their body the way he always has because he learned playing high-level college football, you know what I mean, how you have to do things. So he's always taking
care of
himself.
He did change a little bit because I don't know if he caught up the part of the interview where he's like, yeah, I used to celebrate and I'd go get pizza.
Yeah.
Now he's like, I don't do that. But I was
amazing.
Like, but why wouldn't you?
I know, right?
Like,
don't even do that. That's amazing. But I did wonder, because I feel like a lot of times guys start to get a lot more open and talking when they yeah. know that the end is near. You know what I mean? Where it's like,
that's true.
Where they know, like, man, you know, yeah. like, because I think for a lot
like
of people,
why be a closed book when you know that the end of their story is coming
yeah,
up? Like, why not share and let people really see you? You know?
Exactly. And you know that these media days yeah. are coming to an end. You know what I mean? Like, yeah. Before you're like, oh, the interviews again. Oh, now you're like, but
I was surprised.
It's cool.
To see
they
the
want to talk about me, you know?
Like, he's been around for a long time. We've been watching him for so long. When I saw that number, I was like, holy cow, he's
crazy,
really
man.
There, he's 40. But yeah, I mean, when you put it like that, I mean, like, that's a good way of thinking. I mean, I like to think he's, with the way that his body is, he's not taking crazy damage. I don't see why he couldn't go 2, 3, 4, 5 more fights. I mean, if he's not taking the damage and he's taking care of his body like he's always done, it'd be really neat to see him push that number, just like when we've seen, you know, Jim Miller being able to do crazy things with 100, 200, and then coming up with 300, to see that happen in a light heavyweight, a division that's got some power punchers. You just don't see people racking up that. So to think that this is going to be his 25th fight, if he could put 5 more, just thinking 30 fights or any number beyond where he's at right now in the light heavyweight division is just, it's just ridiculous to be able to do that in the UFC.
I was counting too. That doesn't even count. He had 7 fights with Strikeforce as well.
Yeah.
You know, and he made his Strikeforce debut in 2010 and his UFC debut in 2013. So,
that's so crazy.
It's wild, man.
Dude.
It's wild. It's
I don't think people think about that enough with him. I think people think about the Jim Millers, they think about the Andre Arlovskis, but Ovince is right there as well, man. He deserves to have his name in that, right there in that same recognition.
He absolutely does.
Crazy.
But not an easy fight with Kennedy, of course. But I just love how humble, you know, Kennedy is, and talking about how, you know, he really doesn't have skills yet and he needs to gain skills. Yeah. And you know what I mean? I don't know. He's just
kid,
super well-spoken. Good kid. Yeah, we know, obviously, you know, the family loss that he had, but he was, you know, taking care of his mom for a long time. And I don't know, man. He's just a sweet kid, right? Like, you just
– yeah.
For being – you know.
I felt like he was, and even today, he's still getting better on the mic, but like when we first saw him, like he was so quiet.
Yeah.
Like you could barely hear him. It's like he just didn't have that sort of like, shy felt weird to call him like shy or whatever. He was just so like, introvert is not even the right word, just quiet, just very thought. He's always, and you could tell he's in his head, he's a very thoughtful guy, and so I think he thinks about what he wants to say, but a lot of times it was like trying to get the vocalizations, like, can you speak a little louder?
Yeah
Can you speak a little louder?
Super quiet,
you know. So it's cool to even see that's gotten louder. But he's so respectful. He's a religious guy, but he was giving a lot of praise to his team. And it's just like, I mean, I can't find anything to hate about this kid. I mean, like, how can anybody think anything bad?
No.
Like you said, for the longest time, he was taking care of his mother. She passed in 2022, I believe. And he's just been the kind of guy, he's a provider for his family. He's talking about now he fights for his family here in the States, and he fights for his family back.
Over in Africa.
Yeah, and it's just like,
he's a good kid, man.
What a good kid, man.
Such a sweet kid. I also have a question to ask, and that is, why is it that Uriah Hall enjoys other people's media days so much, but never his own? I mean, Uriah
Did you hear the
Hall, accent? Oh, my. So it was so funny. Like, I'm listening to it, and all of a sudden I hear this, like, deep African accent.
Yeah.
I'm like, who would be here from Africa for this? I was like, it's not
what
like
outlet
a,
is this?
Look, it's not a title fight where somebody would send something. I'm like, who is that? And then he says, oh, look at Uriah putting on the accent or
you
whatever.
You see Kennedy like, over there just start clowning. He's like, do I need to answer this or whatever?
It was kind of a deep, thoughtful question,
oh,
too.
It was really good. I was almost going to push him, like, well, are you going to answer his question? I was like, oh, we just let him get out.
But how is Uriah Hall cracking jokes in somebody else's media? He used to come to media day with like a chip on his shoulder, like,
you know, I was thinking partially too. I think, you know, I felt like since the room just felt good, like Kennedy was in good spirits, like the media was doing fine. I think if the media was dickish, that he wouldn't have hopped
in. You're
probably
right. Yeah.
I felt like he felt like the room was comfortable, like Kennedy was having a good time, he was at ease up there, that he's like, well, yeah, let me hop in here or whatever. I mean, when he would look around the room, it's all regular faces, like, for the most part, that he would recognize, you know. So I don't think he felt, like, weird about, hey, let me try this accent out and just see how this works or whatever. So, but, yeah, it was hilarious because I remember I turned around. I was like, okay.
I was doing an audio version. I was watching your video, but I was listening to it. And I'm like, obviously it would have been off to the side. I'm like, who is that?
Yeah, it was good.
Uriah Hall.
Yeah, man, It was fun. It was good. I think it was a good media day. I mean, I granted it was, you know, it was eight people. I'm glad they didn't try to go all the way down and throw a lot of people. Tip to those that are going to watch the media day for UFC 300. They're going to bring the entire card.
The entire card.
So it is going to be roughly, if it's, how many fights are there? 14? 28 people? There's 14 fights on that, I think, if I'm right. So I want to say there's going to be 28 people. So they're going to try to make it short and sweet, but still. For those of you that pride yourselves on watching the whole entire media day, UFC 300 is going to be, you're going to have breakfast, lunch, and probably part of dinner in there if you watch the whole thing.
I mean, even if you keep it to 15 minutes, which is doable.
It's doable.
But you rarely get just back to back to back to back to back to back. There's space in between. There's gaps in between.
Yeah.
So, I mean, you're talking about a 6 or 7 hour
I'm hoping that either some round, because with a cart, with that many people, they're going to have to shuttle some over or whatever, because they usually try to time it, you know, where they're coming over, they're going to do photos, or they're going to do their ENG stuff for the broadcast. But at some point, there's a backup there. So hopefully some trickle over will let them come to us. But, you know, I guess on the flip side, if ENG and the photo gets backed up, maybe they're not bringing people over. Maybe we'll have a little bit of break. But normally I would say break is good when it gets a little crazy. But when you have that many fighters, when we're just trying to get through, it needs to be completely smooth, or it's going to be an 8-hour day.
I get it, though. I mean, like, I'm looking at the 300 card now. Obviously, the main card for a pay-per-view you'd always have, but there's nobody you wouldn't want to have on there.
Yeah.
But did you see Cody Brundage's tweet the other day? I had to retweet. Mm-hmm. It was so funny. Because, you know, the lineup came out, and the one point that everybody got mad about that was, like, Bo Nickels on the main card, right? Bo Nickels fighting Cody Brundage. Cody Brundage. I think I messed up Brundage and Brunson somewhere at the same time, but Cody Brundage is fighting him on the main card. Cody tweeted out, he's like, y'all MFers know I just work here, right? Oh, that was great, dude. Like, clearly people are hitting him up going, like, why are you on the main card? Why is Bo Nickel on the main card? But look, like, where would you cut it off after that? Yuri Prochazka, Alexander Rakic, nope, got to have them. Calvin Kattar, Aljamain Sterling, got to have them. Holly Holm, Kayla Harrison, got to have them. Sadiq Youssef, Diego Lopez, got to have them. Jalen Turner, Renato Moicano, Jessica Andrade, Marina Rodriguez, Bobby Green, Jim Miller. Obviously, we know that the card openers, Deiveson Figueiredo and Cody Garbrandt. So, I get it, but holy cow, it's getting a long day. But I just don't know where you'd cut it off if you decided, like, you know, we're not going to take them all.
I know. I feel like am I behind on some news? I feel like we're in a crazy – what's going on with Gaethje and Holloway?
That's happening.
Why is – I'm just pulled up on this thing here, and it's saying – it's weird. Google thing. I'm trying to double check on Tapology. Just Google results says it's canceled. I'm like,
what?
So now I'm just trying to frantically look elsewhere.
No.
I'm like, did I miss anything?
Unless that happened like while we were sitting here, like I was out going and getting inspections done on my car.
No, it's still here on Tapology.
Yeah, 100%.
So weird, but literally look at that Google result. What does it say? Red Bread
says canceled.
What the
bad Google?
Google, fucking give me a fucking heart attack. I'm like, am I missing something here? I'm like, what is going on here?
Oh, no, that's still – I guess the only interesting thing there is
– I guess it's got two of them up back.
I guess –
it's weird because it's got two of them.
I saw that. Yeah, that's a little weird.
It's weird, but
– I guess
okay, well, good.
The only interesting thing
because that would
is,
suck.
Oh, yeah, that's got to happen.
That would suck.
That could have even been, the main event. We talked about that. Yeah. But I guess the only thing that's interesting there is how that factors into the whole lightweight title picture, right? Like you had Ali Abdelaziz come out and say, hey, you know, if you want to, you know, Dustin Poirier, if you want to fight Islam, he needs a fight in June. Let's do it. But then you got Justin Gaethje, who's also his client, who's probably like, well,
so
I would
weird. But
like
he's that sort of
well.
Done that in the past, too. I feel like
he knows, like, sequence and who's going to be ready and who's not going to be. I think he probably realizes, hold on, Islam wants to fight in June. Gaethje's fighting in April. There's no way that Gaethje and Holloway are walking out of that fight unscathed, quick enough to turn around for an 8-week camp. And even Gaethje's kind of said, right, like, I'm not doing short notice fights anymore. Like, I need full camps. So I think he knows. I'm not saying Gaethje's not getting it. I just think Gaethje should be after, you know, this next one with Dustin Islam. So.
And I think, too, I mean, it's weird with some of those cats that can do the whole Abu Dhabi, Saudi Arabia thing. I think the UFC's probably got to be like, saving those guys as like trump cards for any possible events over there. It almost takes them out of the rotation for big events in the States because they need to have these guys available to do these events. Because we saw when the UFC tried coming with even though they don't want to admit it, when they come in with a less than desirable card, Saudi's like, no. At least that's the perception everybody was saying about why that fight got pushed back. It was on the heels of Ngannou and Joshua, and then you had PFL Bellator, which was just stacked, and the UFC is like, oh, well, we don't have any major, you know, you know, fighters from that region that are going to be able to fight on that, but we'll still come. And they're like, how about we postpone, you know? So I think for some of these athletes that are over in that area that can sort of fight in Asia, that can fight in the Middle East, all those sort of places, they want to keep them over there for some of these things. So for a card like, you know, 300 or some of these other ones, I definitely think that, you know, as much as we'd like to see maybe the Justin and the Islam and all the other ones, I feel like they're almost like keeping those other guys available for other big possible things.
Yeah, you have
there.
To.
So,
you have to.
Since they are the overlords now.
Wow.
They are the fight combat capital.
The new
they're
fight
like,
capital
sorry,
of
Vegas.
The world, right?
Sorry, Vegas. We're willing to pay more.
Well, we have unlimited resources. We will pay
unreal.
Whatever. Listen, I was hosting that PFL call today. I just want to
do... That's why there was a delay.
No.
The Ngannou-Joshua fight, there was that huge delay. There wasn't like a performance,
right.
But it wasn't a fight. That Sheik, whatever,
right.
Was watching a fucking soccer game, and he wanted to finish.
Are you serious?
It wasn't finished, and that's why they delayed the fucking thing. That's how much power and money these people are throwing over there. That literally,
I did not hear that.
This huge amount of money that you spend for this event, you delay it. Because you're watching, they wanted a completion of a soccer match to take place.
Can you imagine how sometimes Dana's like watching some other stuff as well?
But
like,
Dana would never do that.
Yeah, can we stop everything down, yeah. Please? Because, oh, no,
imagine
Dana would
the
never
people
do that.
Sitting in Madison Square Garden waiting for it to go, and they're like, well, sorry, New York, I know you have a hard out at whatever time. Obviously, they don't have
right,
that
right.
Over there. But yeah.
The labor board doesn't file a complaint.
Because the dude wanted to finish a soccer match. That's the story I was told. How ridiculous is that?
Wow.
But it does not shock me, and I do not doubt it.
100%. No, 100%. They're just at their
the same thing what happened last time when they did the performance. They delayed the performance of the band because he hadn't got to a seat yet.
That's crazy.
Dude, it's crazy.
And then I saw
it's
today.
A whole different world over there.
And then I saw today, like, Francis Ngannou put out a statement on his website or on social media that, like, in the locker room, he was, like, tired and, like, falling asleep as he was trying to warm up and
yeah.
Stuff. And, like, oh, they had you fighting at 3 in the morning.
It kind of showed in the performance. I mean, Joshua was prepared. Ngannou looked slow. Man, that was rough. Man, who was it? One of the leaders over there, somebody that's a big fan of boxing, I mean, was so pro Joshua, wanted him to put Ngannou in his place. And I was like, man, I can see why Francis wanted to go over there and fight, but it's like certainly doesn't feel like it was equal grounds.
Interesting.
Of
I
like
didn't see all
team
that.
Or something like that. I don't know if it was the same guy or whatever, but I remember one of them was saying, like, you know, you need to put him in his place, you know. And, you know, these guys trying to come over into boxing or something.
Wow.
But, yeah. It was attributed to somebody over there said something along those lines. But I was just thinking, like, I can see why Francis, like, I'll take that money. But, like, why do you want to go back in enemy territory unless it's, like, the money?
Unless the money's so good.
But it made me just think, like, here he is that night. It's super late, you know, doing this fight. But maybe part of his heart was already kind of out of it because of the weird environment over there.
Right.
But who knows? I mean... Crazy, but yeah, boy, that was a stinker of a performance.
Yeah, that was.
But Joshua just
took the wind out the sails.
Joshua
right
looked
there.
Perfect, man.
Oh, Joshua,
he had the
great.
Perfect fight. I mean, like that was the fighter that Eddie Hearn never was like. If this guy shows up, your boy's gonna lose.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
and he showed up.
He showed up, boy. He showed up big.
Yeah, that was hard to watch, man.
It was.
I avoided spoilers. And then watch that. And
it
just
sucked.
Like,
I so homered.
Like, I wish I would have had spoilers. I wouldn't want to watch it afterwards.
Oh,
it was rough.
That was heartbreaking.
Did want to give a shout out. Bellator, man, the lineup is looking good next week in Belfast. They've also announced in April their regular season starts, and the rosters are looking good. Those combined rosters together are looking pretty good, man. There's
going to
be some
tough
fights.
That Friday
I can't
night?
Go to the 12th because I have CFFC in Atlantic City. So I won't be there. So hopefully, are you going to try to go?
Maybe.
Yeah,
I think so.
It's
just
be a
such
busy
a long
week.
Day.
It's going to be a busy
week.
Because,
yeah, I mean, that's Friday, so it's like – early morning weigh-ins, then Q&A, ceremonial, blah, 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 and then go watch
the
fights. I'm like, I don't know if I can just call up Tony. I'm like, can I just go and eat food and watch?
Yeah. I don't want to bring my gear or anything. Can I just come
but
hang out?
But more than likely, I'm sure either me or I think Bond's probably going to be in town for that one. I'm not sure who all is going to be in town for that one. I'm sure somebody's going to go. I mean, it's just been a long day. I mean, but it's just a long day. But it just sucks because then there's the long fight night the next day. But would you boo hear me crying about all these fights in town? Oh no,
you have to watch fights.
Would you boo?
It And it does sound bad to be like, it's not complaining, just saying it logistically ends up being like a long day.
Yeah,
like,
I mean, it's literally so.
Like a 16, 17 hour day.
Because it's like if I'm leaving my house to get to the Apex at 8, and if I'm going to leave the PFL, say it's at 9 or 10 or 11 at night, whatever, like, bro.
Yeah, yeah.
I'm no spring chicken.
Like 15, 16 hour days.
15, 16 hour days. And then to go into a fight night the next night, like. Yeah. Bro.
It is rough. Yes.
Woo, boo, 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 boo.
Yeah, but I just want to give a shout out to the Lions. Those combined rosters are looking good. It's kind of cool, too. Like I said, I was doing the media call today. Tawny, I think, is already – she was doing something else. So it was Gabby and CJ from Old School Bellator. You know what I mean? So to see the combined teams working together.
I love Gabby. I love CJ. I love Tawny, man. PFL's got good peeps, man. Good peeps.
They really do. They have good people over there. So I want to give them a shout-out because they got some good stuff coming up. Also want to give a shout-out to the Hammer, Mark Coleman, man. I mean, first of all, if you weren't already sure that Mark Coleman was more of a man than you'll ever be, he proved it once again, right? I mean, saving his parents from a burning fire and then going back in to save his dog as well and succumbing to the smoke inhalation and obviously currently fighting for his life. We've heard the reports, obviously, as you guys have. Does sound very serious. I'm kind of an optimistic person by nature, I guess.
Yeah.
It sounded positive. Sounded like it was improving. It sounds like it's getting better.
Yeah.
And I hope that's the case because, Mark Coleman is a legend of the game and just a legend of a dude and obviously has been through the ringer, man, professionally, personally, all those things. I know you had a chance to spend a little time around him when you're documenting Matt Brown as well. But just want to give my shout-outs, man. Mark Coleman is an absolute legend of the sport. If you didn't – I mean, if you're a new follower to the game, you don't even understand how feared that man was, dude.
Yep.
The godfather of ground and pound. Like, that dude was a savage human being. But it's always just been like the greatest dude behind the scenes. And, I know a fellow Buckeye, so you got some added love there. But I just wanted to give shout outs. I know everybody's sending positive messages that way. I know there's a GoFundMe set up for him as well. But I just want to say, everybody, be pulling for Mark Cole.
Yeah. I will tell you, when I saw the pictures on Facebook, I copied the photos. I sent a link to my brother, who's a nurse. And I was like, dude, can you tell me kind of what's going on in here? Can you tell me what you see from this thing? And his response was that he said he looked stable. He said the more than likely that the tube was an intubation because of probably the smoke, how it affected the lining of his lungs.
Mm-hmm.
So he's in tube, but he said he looked like he was on strong corticosteroid and fentanyl for pain and propofol for sedation. He said he seems very, very stable. I did speak to a close friend. I don't want to throw his name up because I'm not sure if I'm supposed to say anything or whatever. He said that he did look stable. He said that they were able to get some of the soot out of his lungs, and so that was good, and that things were looking good. Because at first, when they were
the initial reports were that it did
the initial,
not look good.
It looked like,
in fact, I think
like
that
they
was
were
like the
say,
initial report that was put out was just like it doesn't look good.
Yeah, like they looked like people are going to go and like say their goodbyes or whatever. But he said they got the soot out of the lungs. It sounds like he's going to be okay. You know, so granted. For the lungs to repair and other stuff, they might keep him sedated for the immediate future right now, you know. But at some point when they can get him off the intubation and things like that, that's a big first step. If you had any doubts on how tough that dude was, man, you know, even just the thoughts of knowing the guy and the guy that he was, boy, it got me. I was kind of fucked up yesterday. I was going to do some angry lefting because I was thinking about it and I was getting all worked up. I was like, I got to go fucking angry left. Knowing the kind of guy that he is, you know that his very first thought was to get his family out of there, but also the dog, he loved his family, and the dog was part of his family. So, and the kind of guy that he is, going in, trying to find the dog's what wake him up in the first place. I want to say it was just the same dog.
Right.
I don't think they had
multiple dogs
or whatever. The fact of going in there, he's the kind of guy that wouldn't have left until he could have found the dog. So the fact that the smoke took him out of the equation before he can get to the dog, and the dog unfortunately did succumb to the fire or the smoke at least, it didn't surprise me at all.
No.
At all. I was like, knowing Coleman, I guarantee he would have busted through a fucking wall to try to get to the dog if he can, you know. But the initial reports were so scary when everybody was saying that he was trapped in the house and the other kind of stuff. It wasn't so much as the fact that he was unconscious.
Right.
And that's why he wasn't leaving.
Right.
But, I mean, multiple trips in there carrying his parents out of there. The dude is a fucking beast. I mean, like,
savage.
But knowing how athletic he was, even though he's getting up there in age, I mean, he set himself up perfectly to recover from this kind of thing.
That's right.
You know, so I think the biggest part was them being able to try to clear that shit thick, because all the smoke and everything, that's going to do the lung damage. So the fact that they're able to get in there and help clear some of that stuff out is big step forward. So knowing his toughness, I don't put out in the universe just to be whatever, but I'm very hopeful and positive that we're gonna have a full recovery. His voice might be even cooler now, maybe more like
a little
raspy,
kind of
whatever. Because he's been through a lot of shit, but he loves his team, he loves his family, he loves people in general. Man, he's so positive, and he's trying to be a good role model for people that have dealt with alcohol addiction and any of those sort of issues. You know, he's trying to be a spokesperson and a positive role model, and I think just being a positive human being, I mean, to be able to do what he did there, I mean, like, just forgetting the fact, I think everybody would say I would do the same thing, but you know, you never know until you get into that moment. Yep. You know, fear kicks in, but fucking Coleman has no fear.
Oh, bro.
You know, so I'm so proud of him for what he was able to do, and I'll be proud of him when he finally, you know, pulls out of this, and we can hopefully have a nice talk about it after the fact. You know, I'm sure it'll be another inspiration for people, but I'm glad things, knock on wood, are hopefully trending in the right direction. But yeah, that, I think that hit hard for a lot of people. I think hearing that and seeing that was crazy. But yeah, I like when those moments was like, I didn't know what to do. So I was like, I was going to ping the OSU wrestling. I was like, y'all better fucking say something. And they said something like an hour before. I was like, okay, I'm going to leave him alone now. But I was just like, I mean, he's a legend. I mean, like,
he is a legend.
Even outside of MMA, he's big in Ohio State sports and our history in there. And I mean, he's an Ohio guy. But yeah, he's a legend, man. So I'm pulling for him.
Me too,
yeah,
man.
That,
well said.
Hard.
Well said, man. Absolute legend. And nothing but positive energy coming his way. So. All right, listen, as always, thanks everybody for the support. Appreciate everybody that supports us even greater at patreon.com/TheMMARoadshow, where you can help support the show for as little as $3 a month. I will throw it out there that this week's and a half episode will probably be a little bit late. I am imagining that I will have
and a half and a half.
I might have an adult beverage or two at the Apex on Saturday, and so I think by the time
I come home, a couple birthday drinks.
I would say
as a birthday gift, Sunday night, Sunday evening.
There you go.
Give yourself to the evening the next day.
At least
sleep in on Sunday.
I will try.
You never get to sleep in.
Oh, no, my son will not let me sleep in. That's not going to happen. But at least get a little bit of sleep. So maybe Sunday morning, and then we'll see how your head is feeling at that point, and we'll make a game time decision.
But, yeah, that's Sunday night, folks.
Sunday night.
Sunday night.
And three quarters, because it's going to be a while. It's past the half. I would appreciate that. So. Anyway, great way to close up 9 full years, we think, or something. We got another 9 coming. We'll get started on the next one. In the meantime, I got to run. Got to go have a quick meeting, and then it's on to the birthday celebration. So I'm going to go do that. Look forward to seeing you guys this weekend. And, of course, thanks for listening.